In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Listen to the words of Isaiah chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. The sinners in Zion are afraid, trembling as sees the godless. Who among us can live with the devouring fire? Who among us can live with everlasting flames? Those who walk righteously and speak uprightly, who despise the gain of oppression, who wave away the bribe instead of accepting it, who stop their ears from hearing of bloodshed and shut their eyes from looking upon evil. They will live upon the heights. Their refuge will be the fortresses of rocks. Their food will be supplied. Their water will be assured. These words describe the saint whom we shall dwell upon today, Saint Dominic, he who is surnamed Loricatus. Saint Dominic. Saint Dominic is a man who should inspire us to push our hands free of temptation of accepting a bribe or from profiting by sullied gain, gain which should not come to us, but is won by oppression and affliction. He should also show us the pattern on which we should model our lives should we have fallen by sin. Who is Saint Dominic, surnamed Loricatus, who we celebrate in this great feast of today? You see, the severity with which this fervent penitent condemned himself to penance for a fault into which he was betrayed without knowing it. It is a reproach to those who, after having offended God with full knowledge and through mere malice, yet expect pardon without considering the conditions which true repentance requires. Who is this Saint Dominic, surnamed Loricatus? Maybe we should explain what Loricatus is. He is surnamed such because that is a word which means a plate of mail, a mail plate, which he wore as a penance throughout the whole of his life. More on that in a moment. Saint Dominic. He's one who aspired from his very youth to live an ecclesiastical life. And being judged sufficiently qualified, he was promoted to sacerdotal orders. But on the occasion of his parents, who had made a simoniacal stipulation with the bishop, to whom they had made some handsome gift for this honor, won for him a handsome present, a great benefice from which he would profit for the rest of his life. Yet, the young clergyman, Dominic, he soon afterward came to the knowledge of the crime of his parents, which he knew to be condemned by divine law and punished with the severest penalties within the canons of the church. So he was struck with remorse and could never be induced to approach the altar, that is, to offer Holy Mass, because he knew this evil which was won for him by the evil of his parents. Nor could he ever be induced to exercise sacerdotal function, for he knew that such offers were made to him which he should not and could not rightfully go forward to receive. So, in these deepened sentiments of compunction of his heart, he immediately entered upon a course of rigorous penance which he continued throughout the course of his life. There was a desert called Montefeltre amidst the Apennine Mountains where a holy man by the name of John led an incredibly austere life in continual penance and contemplation, with whom 18 different cells, others lived, many fervent disciples who had put themselves under his direction. Under this particular monk, none of them ever gave themselves to drink wine the whole of their lives, nor did they eat flesh meats, nor milk, not even butter or any other white meats. They fasted every day only upon bread and water, except for Sundays and Thursdays, when they had a very short time allotted to them for the rest of the night, and spent their time in continual manual labor and assiduous prayer. Indeed, their silence was perpetual, except that they were allowed to converse with one another on Sunday evenings between the hours of Vespers and Compline, a time of recollection, a time of recreation. They gave themselves to severe flagellations, which were a part of their daily penance. Dominic, after he spent a bit of time with these good monks at Luicello, repaired to his superior and begged him with great humility to be admitted into the company of these anchorites. And having obtained his request by the extraordinary austerity of his penance, gave a sensible proof of how deep the wound of sorrow and compunction was within him, for which his heart was so severely pierced, still at the crime of his parents. After some years, with the leave of his superior, he changed his abode with a view of even greater spiritual improvement, and so it was in 1042, retiring to the hermitage of Fonte Avellano, which is in the Apennine Mountains in Umbria. You may know this because St. Peter Damian, of blessed and happy memory, there governed at that time according to the rule of St. Benedict, which changed in the 16th century under the Camaldolese order. The holy abbot, who had been heroic in penance and all other virtues, was astonished at the fervor of this admirable penitent. And so Dominic wore next to his skin a rough coat of iron mail, from which he was surnamed Loricatus, and which he never put off his body except to receive the discipline, the flagellation, voluntarily in view of the sins of his life and of those of the world, particularly that of his parents. The penitential canons, by which a long course of most severe mortification was enjoined penitents for grievous sins, began about that time to be easily commuted within the life of the church. Those who were joined to penance for their grievous sins, through the indulgence of the church out of condescension to the weakness of these penitents, among whom few had the courage to comply with them in such a manner as to reap the intended reward of holy life thereafterwards, sought to lessen them, so that they might gain better advantage. Being therefore found often pernicious rather than profitable to these penitents, they were often mitigated by more frequent concessions of indulgences and of substituting penitential pilgrimages or crusades upon the motives of virtue for the defense of Christendom or other good works, that it became the practice of many penitents to substitute this kind of voluntary flagellation, counting 3,000 stripes while the person recited the 10 psalms for a year of canonical penance. In this way, the whole of the Psalter accompanied with 15,000 stripes was esteemed equivalent to 100 years of canonical penance. What did Dominic do? This holy man of great penance, out of an ardent spirit of mortification, was indefatigable in this penitential practice, which, however, draws its chief advantage from the perfect spirit of compunction from which it springs. If in sickness he sometimes was obliged to mingle a little wine with his water, he could never be induced to continue this custom after he had recovered his health and strength, even in his old age. St. Peter, after an absence of some months, was once asked him how was it that he was able to live in such penance, how he could go on with such little food taken for himself for so long a time, yea, unto such an old and advanced age. St. Dominic replied to his bishop, St. Peter, in tears, calling out to him and saying, "Woe unto me, for I have become a sensual man." He said this because he explained that in obedience to his superior, on account of his being in a bad state of health, he had added on Sundays and Thursdays a little raw fennel to the dry bread on which he lived. Such was the spirit of this penitential man. In his last sickness, his spirit of penance, far from being abated, seemed to gather strength. The last night of his life, he recited matins with lauds along with his brethren, and expired while they sang at prime on the 14th of October. St. Peter Damian tells us about this dear penitential friend who was placed under his care as bishop. The question is, how do we lead our lives? Do we allow ourselves to profit from time to time from ill-gotten gain? When we notice at moments when somebody charges us less at a counter than we should be charged, do we accept that? Or do we quickly seek to make remuneration to that, whether to the store which we have defrauded in this way, or by giving it as a penance and a gift to the poor, to the church? Do we allow ourselves to benefit in ways which we know we ought not to benefit? This Loricatus, this Saint Dominic, a man of great penance, did so not merely because he touched evil, but because his parents touched evil, and so that formed the form of his life in holy penance. Listen again to the words of Isaiah 33 and ask our Lord for a deeper sense of penance, that you may not endure the fires which lay before. Isaiah 33, 14 through 16 states, "The sinners in Zion are afraid. Trembling has seized the godless. Who among us can live with the devouring fire? Who among us can live with everlasting flames? Those who walk righteously and speak uprightly, those who despise the gain of oppression, who wave away a bribe instead of accepting it, who stop their ears from hearing bloodshed and shut their eyes lest they look upon evil. They will live upon the heights, and their refuge will be the fortress of rocks. Their food will be supplied and their water assured." In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.